Welcome, we are back. Welcome to the Sweet Spot here, brought to you by the Racing Post. I'm Dave Clark, he's Steve Palmer. Half-time is over, and we survived it. We made it to the other side. Steve, what have you been up to? Much time with the kids, I hope?
Hiya, Dave. Yes, yes, half-term is always an adventure, isn't it? Was going to do something lavish if Akshay Bhatia had won the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Could have justified a holiday of some sort, but he didn't win. Which we'll discuss later, I guess. So couldn't do anything too lavish. Yeah, we have one night in Devon, Dave. One night in Devon. One night in Devon. Was singing that a lot on the one night in Devon. But it was really nice. The one night in Devon was really nice. It was very wet, but very enjoyable. We stayed at a golf course, Dave. Dartmouth, the Best Western Hotel at Dartmouth is right on a golf course. So so that was good, good fun. I held the longest putt of my life. So I can bore viewers with that. It was about 100 feet from one end of the putting green to the other. We didn't play golf, but
straight into the windmill. Yeah,
it was, on the practice putting green at Dartmouth.
It doesn't count. It doesn't. The practice green.
Well, honestly,
This is
the low key reaction I got from Tommy Tiger, because we spent 10 minutes in light rain gathering gloom on this putting green. I've held it from one end of the putting green to the other. It was so far away. I said, has that gone in? And he just went, yeah. Like, he just wanted to move on. He's so competitive. Like, because he hadn't done it, he just didn't want to talk about it. And I've literally, yeah, I was like dancing around. I couldn't believe it. 100-foot putt. But yeah, he had no interest in it. And now I get the same reaction from you, because it's not on the actual golf
course. Yeah, that's not. I'm not accepting that, I'm afraid.
Okay, well, it was a big achievement for me. Probably the highlight of my life. But yeah, you move.
Okay. Listen, I went to a place called Port Lim in Kent. I don't know if you've
been there. Port Lim, the first ever nine-darter in the World Championship.
Port Lim. Which was very, if you've not been there, I'd recommend it with the kids, maybe in the summer, because we got a bit wet as well, but it's very good. Yes. Very, very good.
Your boy
like his animals? Kids like the animals?
Oh, we all like it. We all love animals, don't we? Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, yeah, I would take the job on. Yeah, the February one's a tough one, because as you say, the weather's abysmal, but we made the best of it. And as soon as we get a winner, we can go somewhere nice, but we've got to be patient on that. It's been a tough old start of the year. Like, Daniel Hillier lost by a shot, didn't he? And then Oliver Lindell, two shots clear with a few holes to go. And then Akshay Bhatia, was he 4-9 at one stage?
The ashtray, he was stubbed out late, wasn't he?
He traded at 4-9, and then faded away. But at least the Rippers won, Dave. The Rippers won Live Adelaide. I haven't seen you for a while. There's something to catch up on. But
I really struggled to see prices for the team event.
Bet365, Hills. There's a few firms do bet on the team event. And
is it late? Is that the kind of market that goes up late?
Reasonably late. Yeah. Sort of day after the individual stuff. But yeah, they were 5-1. I thought they were going to be chalked up as favs, and they were 5-1. And that event was amazing. Yeah, the Live Adelaide event was fantastic. Yeah, yeah. We're probably going to go for a 2-hour broadcast if I start talking about the events that were 2 weeks ago. But let's see how we go.
Okay, well, let's look back on last week's action. I know you don't try and get too heavily involved when you're not working and you're off, but I've got to ask you, because Casey Jarvis is one of your guys, right?
Yeah, I just couldn't believe the price he was when I come back. Now he's 33-1. Yeah, obviously a disastrously timed week off. I'm trying not to get too downbeat about it, because I don't regret my policy. You know, I got loads of texts on Sunday from, Bruce was on, commiserating, because people know I don't bet at all on my week off. And I think it's really important I do that, because you have to be present, don't you? As you say, you got young kids, Dave. I can't be going around Dartmouth Castle. We had a very interesting visit to Dartmouth Castle. I can't be doing that while evaluating the Magical Kenya Open. The kids require you to be present, particularly most weeks of the year, I've got golf leaderboards sloshing around my head. There's golf 50 weeks of the year, Dave. Golf leaderboards are on my mind a lot. So I owe it to the wife and the kids to be present on the weeks off. So I'm not going to have any regret about not getting involved last week. But obviously, when you are away and then you get back, you're just praying someone you think is rubbish has won the tournaments. and obviously, you're praying that someone that you think amazing, someone you've been following off a cliff, doesn't win the tournament. So, yeah, it's obviously disappointing, but desperate to not let it ruin me.
Okay. I'm sure it won't. Right, did you manage to catch much of it anyway? The Kenyan Open, we're of course talking about, won by Casey Jarvis, a first DP World Tour event title. Davis Bryant of the USA second, Henny De Plessis up there, Francesco Laporta, a very international leaderboard come the end. What did you make of it, if you saw any of it?
Yeah. I always re-engage on the Sunday. So, yeah. Devoted myself to the kids and for the week, and then went to Brighton for the weekend, actually, to see an old friend. But then on the Sunday, got back on the Sunday, and then I just do a really sort of hasty catch-up on everything and make sure I'm up to speed by the end of Sunday. And I just thought it was heroic the way Casey Jarvis handled the weather delay, because he had a one-shot lead with 2 holes to play, and then there was a long weather delay. He's stewing on that, one shot ahead with 2 to play, a player that's, had chances in the past and blown it. I thought it was incredible the way he came back and then finished birdie eagle, win in fine style. This is a 22-year-old, we've been backing him since he was really young, but he's still only 22. For a 22-year-old to handle that interruption so well, I thought that was probably the most impressive thing. But yeah, obviously a really fantastic young player. I think he'll start winning in higher grades. The future is really bright for Casey Jarvis.
Anything else to add?
Well, Davis Bryant, we backed him in December last year. Davis Bryant is a player we like as well. A really tidy American, but he started the year so poorly. You can't beat yourself up for missing him, because his form figures were 64 miscut, and then he finished runner-up last week. So, keep an eye on Davis Bryant. He's clearly back in business and a very accurate player that you want to keep inside on certain courses. And then Jacob Skov-Olesen was the other one, tied fifth.
He was outside the names I mentioned, yeah.
Tied fifth. Good tip from Wilco last week. It's nice to see Wilco back in action, and I'm glad he's a fan of Jacob Skov-Olesen, because I think Jacob Skov-Olesen will definitely win on the DP World Tour this season. I think he's loaded with talent, so it's only a matter of time before he wins. He's playing this week, actually. You have to consider him.
Yeah, top man, Wilco. He was a very able deputy, let's put it that way. Steve, am I going mad? It feels like there's a lot of sort of first-time winners sloshing around the world of golf at the moment.
I think you went mad long ago, Dave. Think the passion for greyhound racing probably turned you mad very early on. Watching those canine crusaders every day can do that to a man. There have been a few first-time winners. The DP World Tour, you never know what's going to throw up, do you? And there's these events in South Africa. These events in Africa, obviously we're in Kenya last week. The events in Africa, it seems like the same names that crop up. We've got loads of DP World Tour events in South Africa. We've got another one this week. We've got another one next week. And I love them, actually. I love these events in South Africa. We've got a good record in them. Tails are up. Tails are up. I'm not going to let Casey Jarvis unsettle me. He's playing again this week. You have to consider him. He's only shortened fractionally from last week. We've got lots to consider, Dave.
Okay, right, let's move on to the Genesis then. Jacob Bridgman, a maiden PGA Tour winner. Listen, a quote from him at the end, I couldn't feel my hands at the end, which I'm sure is not ideal when you're trying to win a golf tournament. And it kind of showed on 17, particularly the 18th green, which his lag putt was anything but a lag putt.
Yeah, he said he didn't feel bad on the long shots, but then on the greens, he's a feel putter, he said. He's one of the best putters around. But as you say, the feel had gone, and fortunately, he's such a good putter, he managed to overcome it in the end. But yeah, it was a fascinating event, wasn't it? Because, six-shot lead going into the final round, but, far from over. You got one of the best players in history chasing you down, and, nerves were inevitable. And, we saw how quickly Akshay Bhatia's big lead disappeared. He had a 6-shot lead in Pebble Beach, and it can go quickly. And when I re-engaged on Sunday, I backed Rory McIlroy at 11-2 because I just felt it was made for a McIlroy charge. But he just putted so he's just so frustrating on the greens, wasn't it, Rory McIlroy? Just, mm-hmm. The greens in California,
Yeah, apart from the 18th, he's got some highlight reel 18th green putts, McIlroy now, hasn't he? Jeez,
he has. And Tiger was watching, wasn't he? Yeah. Rory would have loved doing that in front of Tiger. You know, especially after all the cavity back drama. We'll come to that later. I mean, yeah, I think Tiger probably did send that text and said, "Look, you're not friends with me if you stick with him." So Rory was pleased to do that in front of Tiger. But yeah, put a lot of pressure on Jacob Bridgman there. I mean, Jacob Bridgman, the 18th hole, the way he played the 18th hole with three brilliant shots, wasn't he? A brilliant drive, brilliant approach, and a terrible first putt. As you say, the feel had gone. He left it so short. Like, I was so worried for him on that final one. As I say, I was on McIlroy. I would have liked him to have missed, but it was. Yeah, it's a gutsy effort to knock that one in, wasn't it? Did you think he was going to hold that last one, that par putt?
Well, I thought it was over. When he had two putts from where he was, I just thought it was over. But the putt was shocking. And I thought, what I did think, if this doesn't go in, you are not winning this golf tournament. Like, he would have just been absolutely gone.
No, well, don't forget, it would have been a three-man playoff. Kurt Kitayama was on the same score. So I think you're probably right, But, now we can go from strength to strength. I mean, you don't often get 75-1
Can you win a golf tournament like that and then go from strength to strength? Stumbled over the line.
No. I think he deserves a pat on the back for the way he responded to that bad shot on six. You know, that par three, then he potentially about a kind of double bogey there. It could all have gone horribly wrong there. He did well to salvage bogey. And then, it was all getting really tight. No, I think he will kick on. Because it's not like that course particularly suited him. He was playing really long last week, and he's a short hitter, and it was a remarkable effort. And as I say, he went off 75-1, Dave, with PGA Tour form figures this year of 4-13-18-8. So he's played five tournaments this year, and not finished out the top 20. But because it was such a high class event, it was still difficult to fancy him. In that company, signature event. McIlroy breathing down your neck. Scottie Scheffler not far behind. Yeah, a magnificent effort from the Bridgeman.
The Bridgeman. Well, listen, maybe he can kick on if the feeling comes back to his hands. Maybe he'll be able to kick on. As Steve mentioned, Kurt Kitayama and McIlroy one shot behind. Adam Scott up there as well. Shall we get on to Rory and his irons?
Well, yeah. It was just putting that stopped him last week. He hit his ball superbly. His approach play has been magnificent since he went back to the blades. Yeah, fortunately, it was a very short-lived experiment. There's clearly a sweet spot viewer is my old mate Rory. We used to play a lot of rounds at Royal Dublin back in the day. He's obviously listened to the advice because it was a very strange move. I know I had a sort of mental breakdown live on air, which wasn't very enjoyable for anyone, but I was so rattled by the fact that he switched. I was so rattled by it. I thought, the world was coming to an end. But, world order's been restored now. McIlroy said it was just a little experiment. He realises the error of his ways. And fortunately, it seems like they all watched the sweet spot, Dave, because Tommy Fleetwood started looking a bit smarter, hasn't he?
Yes.
Have you noticed?
He's not very intense anymore. He's a little tighter, the clothing.
He was baggy all the way on the DP World Tour. But since he's come to the PGA Tour, he's really sharpened up. He had some Augusta Masters clothing on a couple of weeks. He had some Pebble Beach. He went to the Pebble Beach club shop and bought some clothes in there. He's just a free agent on the clothes. But he looks sharper than last. I'm so pleased. Rory's back hitting his blades like God. Tommy's looking well presented. I think they're both ready to win those majors we need them for in the summer. I think they'll peak for the summer. Absolutely delighted. A weight's off my shoulders, dude.
Did you see the Tiger Woods press conference where he did not rule out an appearance at the Masters?
Yeah, that's classic. Yeah, it's great when you see the alpha. Yeah, they're probably the biggest alpha on the planet. I did. Yeah. So yeah, you want to tell the viewers in case they didn't.
I can't remember what the question was, but he certainly refused to rule out him appearing at the Masters. And when I saw it, I just thought of you immediately. You just get giddy and excited.
He said it was the question was, is it out of the question that you're going to play in the Masters? Because everyone assumed he wasn't, and then he just went, no. Yes, he is lovely. He has a great moment. But yeah, I did see him, also see him in the commentary box at one stage where they asked him if he feels 50, because obviously he's 50 now. And he says, "Do you feel 50?" And he goes, "No, I feel a lot older than that." So he admitted, yeah, the age.
We're not going to see this like incredible comeback and him competing. We think that ship has sailed.
I think that ship has sailed, but you never know. You never rule out players with that amount of ability, do you? Yeah, you would have ruled out Anthony Kim. You would have ruled out Anthony Kim a couple of years ago, wouldn't you? So, yeah. We'll come to Anthony Kim when we've got time, but yeah, we probably haven't now. So, yeah, we're going to see Tiger at the Masters, it seems, but you never know.
Okay. Right, anything else to add? I mean, what about Adam Scott up there? Is he still a player that we should be keeping an eye on?
Yeah, he's swinging fast. Like, his swing speed is up. Yeah, even though he's advancing in years, he's obviously doing plenty of gym work and I was quite interested in how far he's hitting it. Aldrick Pottgeiter obviously hits it further. I think we should give him a mention. He was 450-1 last week. They finished fifth. Lots of rumours in the close season that he was going to join LIV. Maybe he was a bit unsettled at the start of the season. He started the PGA Tour season with three missed cuts, but it seems like he's committed to the PGA Tour now. And he was nice to see him playing well last week. He's a really exciting player, but 450-1. And then obviously the Fav. We better talk about the Fav before we move on to the tips. Just you must find it fascinating. He's like the Scurlo champ of golf now, isn't he? He just gets tailed off and then comes roaring back and on the final three bends.
Scottie Scheffler feels like a player who's just sort of, you know, when I want to win, I win. Like, there's a kind of feeling that you get from him.
Yeah, but have you seen what he's been doing on day one? I mean, it's remarkable how tailed off he's been getting. Open with a 73 in Phoenix.
And it's like there's no urgency at the start of these golf tournaments, and he's just thinking, well, I'll probably come good at some point. It's no drama.
Yeah, he's getting miles behind and then banking a healthy check. He finished third in Phoenix after a first round 73. He finished fourth at Pebble Beach after a first round 72. Last week opens with a 74, and only four players were behind him at that stage, and he moved up to 12th place. So I say all eyes on Scheffler in round one next time. He'll be playing next week, Arnold Palmer Invitational. He's probably already there knowing him. He'd be angry about this. He's probably already there. He'll probably have nine practice rounds before the Arnold Palmer Invitational to make sure he's out the gate. So, yeah, will Scheffler, the Scurlo champ of golf, ping the lids at Bay Hill? We'll soon find out.
Okay. Well, it'll be an all-in job. Gamble responsibly, but if he's anywhere near the lead after the first round, it'd be an all-in job. The chef. Should we move on then?
I think we should.
Let's do some tipping. Well, let's you do some tipping. Right. We are going to head to South Africa for the South African Open. Is this a co-sanctioned event, this one?
Sunshine Tour. Sunshine Tour. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Okay, right. The second oldest national open, the South African Open. Did you know that, Steve?
Second oldest. Yeah. I think I did, yeah. 115
1893. Not a lot of course form to go on here, which is going to make things a little bit tricky. But where are we?
We're at Stellenbosch. Been gagging to say this one. You know, what a place. Stellenbosch Golf Club. Stellenbosch, South Africa. 7,213 yards. Par 70. Only two par fives. Hosting the South African Open for the first time since 1999. David Frost won that with a 5-under par, 72-hole total. We've had two 54-hole Sunshine Tour events there since 2010, 2019 Vodacom Origins event. They were much lower scoring affairs. They set it up easier, but the course has been upgraded since then, lengthened, toughened. I reckon something around 10-under par might win this. Lots of long, difficult par fours. Mixture of sunshine and cloud in the forecast, gentle breezes. So grinding out greens in regulation, the key to success, I think. Expect a South African winner, Dave. The last seven South African Opens have been won by a South African. A field of 156 going to post, which obviously makes it a challenging punting assignment. My shortlist was really long on this, but I got two main bets and two big price outsiders.
Okay. You said grinding out greens in reg, but before that, it sounded like we was looking for a bit of length. What were we saying?
Well, there's only two par fives, but the par fours are long. The theme of the course is long par fours, short par threes. I think it's no picnic. Yeah, length is very useful, but it's no picnic. I think accuracy more important, but length helps. I think about 10 under par will win both tournaments this week, actually.
Okay, right. South African Open is headed the market by the red hot Patrick Reed. We've also got Angel Ayor up there, Jaden Shaper, and Brandon Grace, the front three or four in the market. You've mentioned, did you say you've got two for this one?
Two main bets, two big price outsiders.
Four selections. Give us the best bet then for the South African Open.
Jaden Trey Shaper. It's time to get back in shape. We've managed to resist up to this point. We've managed to resist. We backed him for the Alfred Dunhill and he won that. We backed him for the Mauritius Open and he won that. We haven't backed him since, but he's made a steady start to 2026. Now I fancy he'll reclaim his lead in the Race to Dubai rankings. Patrick Reed's just popped his nose in front of him. But Shaper this year, 24-52-9. The fourth place was in a Rolex Series event, the Dubai Desert Classic. The 52nd was in the Bahrain Championship, where he's missed the cut the previous 2 years. He doesn't like that course. The ninth place last time out was in Qatar, courtesy of a final round 65. He outscored everybody in the field in the final round in Qatar. Then he went off for a well-earned rest. We mentioned how he desperately needed a rest. He played 4 weeks on the spin. Then he's had a fortnight off. So I think it was an essential breather. Sensibly skipped the Kenya Open last week. Nice break. Now ready for a fortnight competing in his homeland and a golden chance to win a ticket to the Masters, Dave. We'd all like a ticket to the Masters. I bet you'd love a ticket to the Masters, wouldn't you, Dave?
Well, yeah, Jaden, especially if the big cat's going to be there as well. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. We need a ticket to the Masters, but Jaden Shaper's in a much better position to get one than us.
Do you reckon?
He's ranked 56 in the world rankings. If he's in the top 50 of the world rankings on March 30th, then he will have booked a Masters ticket, which will be his major debut. But he can end all doubt about his place this week by winning the South African Open for the first time in the, you mentioned how old it is, for the first time in the 115-year history of the South African Open. Whoever wins this one will get a ticket for the Masters. It's a new thing they're doing. So motivation extremely high for Jaden Trey Shaper. His record in South Africa is just consistently good. Don't forget he finished second in the Nedbank Challenge before he won those two events. He was sixth in the South African Open at the start of 2020, ninth in 2022, fifth in 2023, closed with a 74. So, you know, now clearly ready to, if he gets a chance like he did in 2023, much better equipped to take it now. Ready to win his national open, 24 years old, peak of his powers, Dave. Praise the Lord for Jaden Trey Shaper.
Praise the Lord. Okay, and he's one of your favourites, isn't he? Big fan.
I'm a big fan of Jaden Trey Shaper. The Lord is a fan of Jaden Trey Shaper, and he's going to the Masters.
Is he a fan of the Lord? Is he part of the God squad?
Very much so, very much so. And all credit to him. He lives his life in a very productive way. I'm not going to criticise him for that. I wish I lived my life in a bit more sensible fashion.
Less vices, should we say? Less vices. Right, he's the main selection. Who's the next best?
Dean Burmester, the biggest threat to Jaden Shaper, in my humble opinion. I saw an interview with John Rahm the other day when he described Dean Burmester as one of the most underrated players in the world. And I think Rambo has got a point there. Burmester, incredible driver of a golf ball. Brilliant with his long irons too. I remember being at an Open watching him hit a one iron. He's very good with the one iron. Hit manages to hit that absolutely miles. He can hit his one iron further than you can hit your driver. I'm certain of that, Dave. Won loads of Sunshine Tour events early in his career. Then won four times on the DP World Tour. Three of those wins were in South Africa. One of them was the South African Open. Then he joined LIV. How many times has he won on LIV, Dave? I'll test your knowledge while I have a slurp.
Dean Burmester has won four times on the LIV Tour.
Well, he's won twice on the LIV Tour, which is the same as John Rahm. So, John Rahm obviously gets all the plaudits. But I think John Rahm is right. Dean Burmester is massively underrated. Burmester beat Sergio Garcia in a playoff for the 2024 Live Miami. Then he beat Rahm in a playoff for Live Chicago last year. Burmester in Live Adelaide last time out, he was a bit rusty in Riyadh, and then he didn't start particularly well in Adelaide. But by the end, Burmester had found his A game. Only one player outscored him in the final round of Live Adelaide. He closed with a 65 for sixth place. He just looks primed for a massive performance on home turf this week. And that Masters carrot, the Masters carrot is the same for him. Well, even more so for him, because Schaefer's got a chance through the world rankings. You know, Burmester's a long way down the world rankings, but obviously if he wins this, he's got a Masters debut.
And not a player, you mentioned the two wins on the Live Tour, but he's not a player that's going to be shy of the winning line either, is he?
No, not a player that's going to be shy. Obviously, this is all about qualifying for the Masters, really. And, you know, winning the South African Open for a second time. I'll be confident with either of those boys if they're in with a chance on Sunday. Neither of them will shy away from the task.
Okay, so they are the two main picks. From what you're saying, they've got two lively outsiders then. Big prices?
Yeah. The first one of those is Oliver Becker, who's burst back into form in recent months. Won on the Australasian Tour in October, finished second on the Sunshine Tour in November, then fourth in the Alfred Dunhill Championship in December. Then he won last week's co-sanctioned Sunshine Tour Challenge Tour event, the Johnson Workwear Durban Open.
Becker, the one they all want to win, yeah.
Well, we all love wearing a bit of Johnson Workwear. Becker has spoken about losing a family friend recently. He's refocused him. He's reminded him how precious time is. He seems more motivated than ever. He's 41 years of age. He wants to make every career opportunity count. And he's spoken about wanting special moments, Dave. You know, surely this will do the job. You know, win your National Open, book an Augusta debut. Is that special enough for you, Ollie? I think it certainly is. And I think that dream could become a reality, Dave. The venue, absolutely ideal for him. This is Becker's home course, Dave. He lives in Stellenbosch. He's attached to Stellenbosch Golf Club. He finished third in the 2010 Vodacom Origins event there. He was 21st in the 2019 edition of that event. 9-time Sunshine Tour winner. Loads of money in the bank. You love your big check swagger, Dave. He's got that.
He
played in one live event. He played in the first live event. He finished sixth. He banked $737,500. And then he didn't get to play another event. He was a four ace. He was in the original four aces team, Dave. So one live event, won a fortune. Tried to get his live card back last month, actually. In the Live Promotions event, he had a chance. He finished eighth in that. Top three got cards, and he finished eighth. Anthony Kim was one of the players that got one of those cards. But yeah, none of this really matters. I just thought it was interesting. none of it will matter when he wins the South African Open on Sunday and books a Augusta debut.
The big check swagger is a big thing. I'm telling you, if you can play golf without the stresses and, you know, the torment of needing to perform to keep your tour card and pay your mortgage and your livelihood, when you can just play because this is what I do and I'm a winner and I've got loads of money, so you're a different animal.
Well, that's it. Yeah, Oliver Becker's playing for moments now. Yeah, the fact he's gone off to an Australasian Tour event to win an Australasian Tour event, he enjoyed the moment. And, you know, he just won again on the Sunshine Tour. So, yeah, he wants moments now. He's not worried about bucks. Burmester's obviously not worried about bucks. I'm excited about Oliver Becker. He's been backed, but still sort of 90-1 out there, which is well worth getting involved with.
And the fourth member of the team is an even bigger price.
Yes, he is. It's Ryan Van Velzen. Ryan Van Velzen, who would have watched Jaden Schaefer win those two events at the end of last year, and then he would have watched Casey Jarvis win last week, and then he would have thought, it's my turn now. It's my turn now, Dave. Don't know whether he would have mentioned you, but he certainly would have been.
Probably not.
Well, the thing is, he's not friends with you, but he's great friends with Jaden Schaefer. They're both the same age. They're both born in the same place. They both still live in Benoni, the same town. So they've grown up playing golf together. I think that there's definitely an inspiration factor in seeing what Schaefer has done. I remember they both shared the lead in the 2023 South African Open going into the final round. So they went out together in the final round. And Van Velzen handled that better than Schaper, actually. Van Velzen finished runner-up in that event, and Schaper dropped away. So, Van Velzen's got the inspiration factor. I remember during that 2023 South African Open, he actually was interviewed and mentioned Schaper. He mentioned Casey Jarvis as well. He mentioned how they're all such a tight-knit bunch. So Van Velzen, runner-up in that, runner-up in the Alfred Dunhill at the end of 2024. He's won twice on the Sunshine Tour. He won the Sunshine Tour Order of Merit in 2024. So I think it's only a matter of time before he wins in a higher grade. Fifth place in the SDC Open, a Challenge Tour event in South Africa at the start of this month, was encouraging. And then last week, 18th in the Kenya Open was also encouraging. So yeah, Ryan Van Velzen, we've all been waiting for him to make his mark. And I think it might be this week.
So you're plumbing for the home team this time?
Well, yes, the stats suggest that is the tactic. Yeah, the last seven have gone to South Africans. Obviously, there's the vast majority of the field. But I think they've got such a good crop of players. Exciting times for South African golf. It happens. Yeah, I've been in this game a long time, man and boy. Every few years you get another crop of South Africans. They're great at producing golfers. Good weather, I suppose. Good weather and, yeah, who knows why. But, you always get a good crop of South Africans.
Right. There is one player with quite a few firms who is a single figure price. And that, of course, is Patrick Reed. He's not in your team. Why is he not part of the team?
He's never been to South Africa prior to this week. I think that's significant. We said the same thing when Victor Hovland was playing in the Nedbank. You know, he'd never been to South Africa before. You know, it's South African golf courses have their own unique feel. Your Kikuyu grass. I think it takes time to settle on them. Reed at short prices, I can live without, certainly.
Okay, what about your man, Angel Ayora?
Yeah, that final round on Sunday would have really stung. You know, he was eight shots inferior to Casey Jarvis on Sunday. Jarvis outscored him by eight shots in the final round. Ayora was the only one of the leading groups who failed to break 70. It was just another reminder that we're dealing with a 21-year-old maiden here. Yeah, it's an entirely natural learning process. Can he beat a load of talented South Africans in their homeland for his first win? Yes, but I think it's a short price to do so, Dave. I think the bookies have cottoned on to him. They know how popular he is. I obviously not help that by banging on about him all the time, but they've been stingy with him all year, Dave. You know, we haven't backed him this year because of that. You know, the bookies are pricing him up short. We haven't taken the plunge on him this year, and I think we've got to hold fire again. We need the bookies to be a bit more generous.
The price has got to be right, absolutely. What of some of the other home team then? Just looking at the market here, Brandon Grace, Tristan Lawrence.
Yeah. Lawrence obviously has won on this course in the 2019 event, but it's been toughened up and changed since then. Yeah, that's a low-grade affair. Brandon Grace, yeah, I'm still not convinced by Brandon Grace. Yeah, obviously, I watch a lot of live golf and I don't like what I'm seeing. I mean, Casey Jarvis, if you around that sort of range, would be more tempting. But I just wonder whether, I think the celebrations would have been huge. That was the first time his dad had ever watched him win a golf tournament. He's, obviously Jarvis was won at lower grades. And the first time his dad was there, you see the raw emotion coming out of him. I think, obviously Schaper managed to win back-to-back at the end of last year. Old Santa Schaper. Santa Schaper saves Christmas. I just think that Casey Jarvis is a slightly different character. And I think he might have just bubbled over a little bit.
Right, should we move on?
Yes, sir.
Right, well, let's move on then to the Cognizant Classic. Formerly known, of course, as the Honda Classic. I think most people would kind of associate it as the Honda Classic. Yeah. Someone knocked in a 59 last year, didn't they? What kind of course are we looking at in it, Steve? You know, if there's no wind, are we just going to see incredible numbers again?
It was Jake Knapp who carded a 59 last year. The course record holder. The champion course, PGA National, Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, 7,223 yards now. They've lengthened a couple of holes since last year. Par 71.
The bear trap, have they touched that?
No, the bear trap was not tinkered with. No, that's the final. Yeah, it's a really tough stretch coming home. Par 71, three par fives. George Fazio originally designed the course. Jack Nicklaus renovated it. Used to be one of the toughest layouts on the PGA Tour, Dave, in the good old days, as I like to call them. You could win with a six under par total back in the day. Nice. But then a few players moaned about it, Dave. A few players moaned about it. The PGA Tour were buckled under the strain because they were worried about players not turning up for the event. So in recent years, they made it much easier, less rough, overseeded fairway. So soft turf, easier to find the fairways. And then in 2024, they changed the 10th hole from a par four to a par five. So the tournament changed a lot. Knapp did that 59. And then, yeah, you had players that used to like it as it was before started moaning. So you had Shane Lowry and Billy Horschel started moaning that it got too easy. So everyone's moaning, Dave. Microcosm of the modern world. Nobody's happy unless they're unhappy. Let's moan about
PGA. Even my wife, yeah.
PGA Nationals too hard. PGA Nationals too easy. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on the PGA Tour to get the balance right this week. I think Mother Nature will help them do that. Three windy days forecast at the start of this tournament, Dave. Just Sunday's a bit calmer. I think Sunday will be the best scores. So I think something around 10 under par might be enough to win this time, because I don't know if you've noticed, Dave, that the rough's been quite juicy on the PGA Tour this year. And I think with the reduced fields, because they've reduced the field size, they're not so worried about pace of play, and they've let the rough grow a little bit. I think the only reason scoring's still been quite low is because it's been a lot of wet, a lot of rain. Soft conditions obviously help scoring. So I suspect the rough might be a little bit juicier than last year. We've got 123 players going to post. As I say, they've lengthened a couple of holes. Churning out greens in regulation will still be the key to success, Dave. That's how Jake Knapp shot his 59. Greens and regulation remains the key to success in the Honda, as I'm glad you called it. You know, we still call it the Honda, but we must say the real name of punters are getting confused.
Not to the sponsors. Yeah. Can I just say that making a golf course easier because you're worried that the players are not going to turn up is absolute nonsense.
Yeah, I know. But then, it's a fine balancing act.
They're golfers that are trying to earn a living. They're going to turn up. They're not going to swerve it because it's too difficult.
Yeah, true. Someone will turned up. But yeah, I suppose if you mentioned windmills earlier on, if you did start putting windmills and grizzly bears on greens and stuff.
I want level par to be winning golf tournaments. That's what I want.
Your Rory McIlroys wouldn't turn up. Yeah. I like a balance. I want to see. Yeah. I like easy courses and it's all about balance in life, Dave, isn't it? Get your work-life balance right, Dave, and get your golf course balance right. I want this to return to being a bit harder. I mean, Bay Hill's coming up, that's always hard, so you've got that on the horizon next week.
Are we starting a Florida Swing? Is that where we're at now?
Yeah. West Coast Swing's just ended, now we're on to the Florida Swing. Yeah, it's exciting time of the year, building towards
iconic golf courses galore coming up.
Yeah, Bay Hill's always good fun next week. Then you obviously got Sawgrass and, not long before the Masters. So, exciting times, Dave.
I'm excited. Right, the market then. Ryan Gerrard, Shane Lowry, Nikolai Højgaard, Michael Thorbjørnsson, Rasmus Højgaard, Keith Mitchell, Daniel Berger, and some fella called Brooks Koepka. I don't know if you've heard of him before. He's in the field as well.
Very much so, John. Yeah, obviously playing in his home state and... worth considering. But I just have two tips, Dave. Two tips.
Okay, four and a two. So eight each way doubles if you want to play across both tournaments. Who is the main selection then?
Ryan Gerrard, who duelled with Jaden Schaefer for the Mauritius Open title in December. I obviously watched a lot of that tournament cheering on Jaden Schaefer. Gerrard was on a mission to qualify for the Masters. That's why he went to that tournament. He had a stand-in caddy because his usual caddy was celebrating his 30th wedding anniversary. But Gerrard handled that situation well by producing one of the best putting performances of his life, I'd say. Second place to Schaefer meant he did enough to earn a Masters debut because he ended the year in the top 50 of the world ranking. So mission accomplished on the Masters front. Then he started this year with his tail up and he finished second in the Sony Open. Then he finished second in the American Express. So three consecutive runner-up finishes for Ryan Gerrard. Then he was 11th at Torrey Pines, 45th at Pebble Beach, 28th last week with a Cole Putter in the Genesis. You know, Gerrard is world number 26, Dave. He became the highest ranked player in this field. We had two withdrawals yesterday afternoon. Jacob Bridgman obviously decided to spend the week celebrating and counting his money. Ben Griffin withdrew. So, yeah, Ryan Gerrard, the highest ranked player in the field, should be clear favourite in my eyes. Yeah, obviously, the prices were much better when Griffin and Bridgman were in the field. But, yeah, the remaining prices are still well worth it because, yeah, this is by far the most likely winner of the golf tournament for me. Yeah, I had a long shortlist in South Africa. I had a tiny shortlist in for the Cognizant Classic, Dave. Yeah, it's hardly anyone of any other interest. Ryan Gerrard, by far the best bet for this tournament. He lives in Florida, Dave. He won his maiden PGA Tour title last summer in the Barracuda Championship. He won on the Canadian Tour in 2022. He won on the Corn Ferry Tour in 2024. He finished eighth in the US PGA Championship last year, Dave. So just nice progression every year from Ryan Gerrard. His iron play is typically a thing of beauty. He's the man to beat at a course where he finished fourth on his Cognizant Classic debut in 2023. He was ranked 472nd in the world for that tournament, Dave. 25th last year on his second Cognizant start. And the icing on the cake, Dave, I know you like your icing. You clean your teeth very well at night time, but I know you spend a lot of the day eating ice. As a 16-year-old amateur, Dave, Ryan Gerrard won at this course, the AJGA Polo Golf Junior Classic, you know, an elite junior event, PGA National. He's won that. So he's looking forward to this, Dave.
Okay. He is the market leader. Let me ask you.
Well, he is now. Yeah. As I often moan about, Dave, the golf punting community is shrewder than it's ever been. And it's very annoying when this sort of
thing happens. There's 14, 16s, there's 12s out there. There's 10 places out there if you shop around. There's 12 places out there if you shop around. But let me ask you, what price would be too short? So you've seen Ryan Gerrard and you go, I like him, but he's too short.
Yeah, yeah. It's a weak field, Dave. You know, you have to be aware of how, you know, this is a rubbish field. And he's been competing. Right, okay. It's a rubbish. Yeah, I think double figures. If you get double figures, it's a fine bet. It's a fine bet. Right. So, because I like, he's good in the wind. His iron play is exceptional. The windy first 3 days are a bonus. His comfort on this course is obvious. He's been, you know, he's been comfortable on this course since the age of 16 years of age. I mean, as I say, there's the market's never been shrewder. Whoever started letting Americans gamble has probably got something to answer for. I'm glad they did. I'm glad they did let Americans gamble because.
They've killed all the value in the PGA Tour, though, have they?
Everyone should be allowed to gamble, but obviously there were probably some Americans who were at that AJGA Polo Golf Junior Classic who watched that tournament who have been piling into Ryan Gerrard. But
yeah, I'm sure there was many, many, many thousands there. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Sure. Yeah. So the market's better. Yeah, the market is more astute than it's ever been. I mean, I couldn't believe the early money for Oliver Becker. I thought I was the only one in the world who was onto that one, but everyone. Yeah, there's shrewdies out there, Dave, but we do our best. And Ryan Gerrard, Jaden Schaper, you know, that is a delicious each-way double. I'm excited. Yeah, I'm very excited. You can tell I'm excited.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, you're going to have to.
And that makes me excited too. Right, we've got another player to come.
Yeah, we have.
Who is it? It can't be Michael Thorbjørnsen. It can't be. Who is the other selection?
We'll discuss Michael Thorbjørnsen in a minute. Don't worry. It's Ricky Castillo. 66-1 Ricky Castillo. A former world number one amateur, as we've discussed. Briefly, but it counts. Superb driver. A star at the University of Florida. He lives in Jacksonville, Florida, Dave. This is a 24-year-old who agonizingly lost his full playing rights last year. You remember that RSM Classic? He finished third in the RSM Classic. It was just not enough to retain full playing rights, but he still gets into a few events. He's in this one. He's had three events this year. He's made the cut in all of them. 31st in the Sony, 44th in the Amex, 43rd in the Farmers Insurance Open. Now he comes to, you know, the type of greens that he conquered in his college days. You know, this is where he became a college star. He won on the Corn Ferry Tour in 2023. I think he'll threaten a maiden PGA Tour title this week. It's a generous price. He's played the Cognizant before, 56th on debut last year.
Okay. And he's a fair price as well, actually. Just scrolling down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A classy youngster who's not shown his best yet in a in a weak field. As I say, there's not a lot of quality.
70 to 1. 70 to 1 is out there.
You want to, yeah, absolutely. You want to go through the market leaders now, and they're not great, are they? That's not a great set of them.
Okay, well, let's start with one of the moaners, as you suggested, Shane Lowry, second in.
Yeah, Shane Lowry preferred this course in the olden days. As I say, maybe a bit tougher than last year, but it's certainly not the Honda venue of old. He nearly won this in 2022. I remember being on him in 2022, and he was really unlucky. Sepp Straka played the final hole in perfect weather. Then Lowry and the group behind suddenly had to play the 18th hole in like monsoon conditions. Like the weather suddenly went from perfect to terrible. And that made the par five play really long. And Lowry couldn't reach it. And Lowry lost by a shot, if I remember rightly. So, Shane Lowry likes this venue, but he's on a long victory drought now. He hasn't won an individual event since September 2022. The BMW PGA. We were on him for that. Seems like a lifetime ago to me, you know, let alone Shane Lowry. He threw away the Dubai Invitational last month, Dave. You remember that one? Rubbish event, let's be honest. And then still the pressure got to him in that. And he's also, you know, one of my bugbears. He's in TGL action this week. There's four TGLs this week, Dave. They've loaded them all in because the TGL venue is close to this venue. So there's loads of players who've been in action. Not all of, Lowry's, as you say, is he favourite? I mean, the Gerard Gamble's continuing.
Yeah, they're kind of joint favourites, maybe,
So you've got the favourite for this golf tournament, one of the joint favourites, having a really unsettled preparation. You know, he's playing tonight, Dave. He's playing tonight, Tuesday night, high-intensity indoor golf. It's just not very helpful. I know the event's just down the road, but I think it's unhelpful. But there are many reasons why I don't like Shane Lowry for this.
What about Nicolai Højgaard?
Well, the Højgaards are keeping each other company in the betting shows as well as on and off the golf course, isn't it? Because they're right next to each other. Yeah, Rasmus and Nicolai, I think they're both of them just are too attacking for this golf course. I mean, water is in play on virtually every hole. Yeah, these are two players, very, very swashbuckling players who can't resist gunning at pins. And I just wonder
pin
whether...
seekers. Yeah, they're definitely pin seekers, that is for sure.
Yeah, I think maybe too wild for PGA National. I don't think they're naturals for PGA National, but obviously I love them both. I think they're both fantastic players. But I didn't see them as a good fit for PGA National, even though it's a bit easier than it used to be. And then, your mate Michael Thorbjornsson, the king of
Well, we'll get on to him. I was you might have noticed me looking down. I was scrolling through the YouTube comments from a couple of weeks ago, the last show that we did.
Oh, yeah.
Trevor Connors. Fantastic show, guys. Absolutely love tuning in every week. It was a pleasure to meet Dave at the snooker, which he did in Reading. Doing a great job presenting that too. Top bloke, check is in the post, but he came up to me and the first thing he said to me was, is Michael Thorbjornsson still in the bin? And I was like, in the middle of a snooker club. And I was thinking, yeah, he is actually. And then he said, is Steve Palmer really like that in real life? And I said, I'm afraid he is.
Like what?
There you go. There were the two questions he served me straight away, but great lads.
Yeah.
And they're big fans of yours. They follow you off a cliff, as you should, as well. But yeah. Michael Thorbjornsson.
I'll ask the same question. Is he still in your bin?
He sits on the lip of the bin, depending on what price he is. So this week, he's like a 25 to 1 shot, so he's jumped back in.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
For a probably more deeper event, when he's like a 66, 80 to 1 shot, we'll have a look at him.
Okay, no, fair enough. I mean, I wasn't.
It's all about the price. It's all about the price.
Well, I might put you off a bit further now because he was in TGL action last night.
Oh, God.
He's been more pressure than anything because he's suddenly getting games alongside Rory McIlroy in the same team as Rory McIlroy.
Is it that intense, though, Steve? Is it really
intense? Yeah, you're wired up. It's like, it's like high pressure to have banter like the
I watched some of it, and I don't think they care. I don't think some of the players care.
Oh no,
I saw one of the players just stiffed it in the drink, and he was just laughing. I just thought, well, what is this?
Well, you know, our producers tell us to have less banter and get on with it. The show's too long.
Yeah.
They're anti-banter, our producers, and we rebel. We rebel against that and just go do as much as
that's
possible.
That's why we're at 50-odd minutes, yeah, ticking over.
But your TGL guys are told, you have to, this is a made-for-TV product. You know, you got Colin Morikawa, probably one of the least equipped people in the world to provide banter, told he has to provide banter. And he's
entertainment.
Are you not entertained by Colin Morikawa? No, no, I'm not. I think Michael Thorbjornsson being thrown into that environment alongside Rory McIlroy. I think it's poor preparation. I'd rule him out on that. And he was tailed off at Pebble Beach. I don't know if you noticed. Talked a good game after, you know, failing from the front at Phoenix. Should have won Phoenix and didn't, and then talked a good game in the interviews, but then clearly had a reaction at Pebble Beach. He was in last place, wasn't he, pretty much? I think we can leave him alone, certainly.
Right, one other player I wanted to ask you about then is a player that I've already mentioned, of course, Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, Brooks Koepka. Yeah, obviously this is he'd be delighted to be back on the Florida swing. He had loads of pressure on him when he came back. Yeah, all eyes were on him.
But it'd be just a player that I feel like he's desperate to win and say, I'm back.
Yeah, but I was really surprised how badly he played at Phoenix. You know, he really flopped there. I just don't trust him enough. You know, you remember how rubbish he was on Liv for a long time before he left? Yeah, he started off well on Liv and then he dipped badly and the putter was a real issue. So I just don't have enough trust in him. But this is such a weak event. Obviously, a five-time major champion in a weak event. You have to give him some respect. But no, I prefer virtually all eggs in the Ryan Gerrard basket. I find it very hard to see Ryan Gerrard underperforming, not being involved in the finish. We'll go with that.
Fair enough. Listen, are you going to be lying down in a dark room this week preparing for next week? Because there's four golf tournaments next week for us to power through.
Yeah, I did. There's two on the PGA Tour, isn't there? So there's two PGA Tour events next week, one on the DP World Tour and Live Hong Kong. So we get to talk about Anthony Kim before Live Hong Kong. Yeah, unbelievable story that I'm keen to talk about, but we haven't got time now. But you're right. I've got to have a very low-key weekend. I overbeard last weekend in Brighton, so I need to just rest up now.
What about the darts? Anything happening? What's going on?
Well, Luke Littler won the Poland Darts Open at the weekend. That was good because a lot of people were people very keen, build them up, knock them down. He has a bad start at the Premier League and everyone's going, oh, Luke Littler, he's lost his focus, blah, blah, blah. Come back and just absolutely imperious in the Poland Darts Open and went off at delightful prices. I'll stay away from the Premier League this week. No bets on that. No, very low key, very low key, Dave, because as I say, I've got to repair body and mind and be ready for those four tournaments. Imagine if we had the winner of all four tournaments, Dave. Imagine.
Fourfold. Be beautiful, wouldn't it?
Yeah, these are the opportunities.
It would be the last we see of Steve Parham on the sweet spot, that's for sure.
I'd serve a month. I'd serve a month for...
I wouldn't let you either.
But yeah, obviously the four gives us great opportunities. Never mind us lying down in a dark room. The bookies will be scared witless. They're going to need a weekend resting before we tip four winners next week.
Well, listen, you can bash them up this week. Let's do a roundup then of the two tournaments. We are off to South Africa for the South African Open. Who are the selections?
Jaden Trey Shaper, Dean Burmester, Oliver Becker, and Ryan Van Velzen.
Okay, and the Cognizant Classic?
Ryan Gerrard, Ricky Castillo.
Simple as that. 4 and 2. 8 each way doubles if you want to play. Steve has told you that the two headline tips worthy of a double for sure. Do get involved with us here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. It's that time of the year, isn't it? We are approaching March. We're approaching the Cheltenham Festival. Any thoughts, Steve, on that?
I've heard Unsinkable Boxer's training really well. He's jumping really well. And Florida Pearl has also schooled. Yeah. He schooled that, really well over
that joke. He's still old, Steve, if you wondered, yeah. Listen, if you want some real insight from the experts and the people that do know, do get involved with us here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. The content that is coming now and the content that is coming Cheltenham Week as well, we will look after you, that is for sure. And fanning anything else, just listen to some bloke called Paul Keighley. He will look after you, that is for sure. This man will look after you as well, hopefully, this week. Steve Palmer, this has been The Sweet Spot. Gamble responsibly, and we'll see you next week.